Hey everyone, it's pianist Peter Dugan here, and welcome to this week's podcast. When I think about the show you're about to hear, all of the young musicians are so incredible, and I'm struck by the passion and determination that they all share. Daniela Santiago is a guitarist who you're going to meet. She has a great story about how she discovered music at her public school in Texas, and that it was really this community music organization that encouraged her and inspired her to pursue music really, really seriously. Plus, Tessa Lark joins me as co-host, and we get to play a duet together. Be sure to listen to the end of the show so that you can hear that. She sounds so fantastic. If you like what you hear today, remember that From the Top is a small independent nonprofit, and if you would consider making a contribution to our efforts at fromthetop.org, we'd really appreciate it. Thanks, everyone, and enjoy the show.
From NPR.
It's From the Top.
Celebrating the power of music.
In the hands of America's kids.
Here's our host, pianist Peter Dugan.
Many thanks, Joanne, and welcome, my friends. I was trying to think of a word to describe the great show that you're about to hear, and I think I'm going to settle on soulful, mostly because joining me as co-host is one of the most profound and soulful violin soloists concertizing today. Tessa Lark, who is part of From the Top's team of recurring co-hosts, is back on the program, and she'll be working with a teenage oboist on some music by J.S. Bach, playing a few Bartok duos with a 15-year-old from Queens, and also performing some music by Dvorak with me. Her rehearsal on the Bartok with our young violinist was particularly fascinating, and so we recorded a bunch of that, so you'll be getting a little backstage glimpse into that process. I want to thank Yamaha Artist Services New York, the generous hosts for the in-person work we were able to do on today's show, including all of the great stuff you'll hear with Tessa later on. But first, we've got a brilliant 17-year-old pianist to play the music of Frédéric Chopin for us. This is Brandon Wong from Ramsey, New Jersey, performing excerpts from Chopin's Scherzo Opus 31 No. 2 in B-flat minor.
Thank you.
Brandon Huang, 17 years old, from Ramsey, New Jersey, performed the Scherzo in B-flat minor by Frédéric Chopin, Opus 31, number 2. What a stunning performance. You captured the full range of the piano there. You had the sparkling passage work. And in this performance, you sound very free and spontaneous with your phrasing. Is that something that you value?
Definitely. Especially for Chopin, when I approach his music, I want to be as free as possible to really express myself and my emotions. So I really tried to just be free when I was recording.
It certainly came across, in a way, it's a very bold performance. And you say that before music, you were not such a confident kid. How did music give you confidence?
When I was in fifth grade or something, I could never really talk to the class. It was just something that I was really afraid of. But I remember a specific piano performance. When I was there, my soul and my heart was just moving with the music, and I really felt like I could perform. After I performed that piece, I remember the audience was applauding significantly, and it was a reassurance of that I could actually perform and like contribute to like a group setting. So then afterwards, I don't know why, but I felt more active into a lot of things. Like, I started wanting to talk more. I felt more confident in myself. And so music in that way really made me be able to go on the stage and like really perform, which I love so much.
And you also, you've done Model UN for a few years. That takes quite a bit of confidence too, wouldn't you say?
Yep. Model UN is definitely one of those activities where you have to be the leader of the room. So you have to be able to talk to people, discuss diplomatic negotiations. That's really hard too, but I don't think I would have been able to do that without my performance. That really broke, really opened me up.
Now, with your newfound confidence, your public speaking skills, you've become the person at school who does the morning announcements. But from what I understand, that hasn't always gone according to plan.
Oh my God. My favorite experience, probably the most memorable experience of my life. Okay. I'm going to say this. As you know, I'm a member of the morning announcements team at my high school. And usually I'm just responsible for giving the school news. My good friend, he does the morning the Pledge of Allegiance. Uh-huh. And one day, my friend doesn't come to school. He's absent. And so it's just me and this other kid. And then my advisor says, Brandon, do you want to do the Pledge of Allegiance?
Right.
I say, yeah, why not?
Sure.
I go, it's really different when you're actually there, like in front of the like the phone. And while I was reciting it, I just completely forgot like the second part of the pledge. I got like mixed up with the words and like I had a brain fart moment.
Uh-huh.
And it was the most embarrassing experience. Like everyone around me was laughing and I just couldn't recover from it.
Who finally finished the pledge for you?
Like my friend along the side had to literally bring me the Pledge of Allegiance right there after I made that bad mistake. And everyone knew that I messed up. Like everyone mentioned it and they teased me about it. And
I've had moments where I go blank like that, only at the piano. And let me tell you, that's not fun either. Gosh, I can relate.
Yeah.
Now, I was told that a big part of your interest in music is the possibility of being able to be an activist with the way you engage with your art. Mm-hmm. How do you see music and activism coming together?
I think that's music is really important for social change in a way. I started really getting interested to see how music can be used as diplomacy sometimes. Mm. Like it matches with my interest for Model UN too.
Sure, yeah.
Everyone loves music. It's a medium like no other. Mm-hmm. And like people connect with it. And this, in some ways, like politics and other things really create discordance in society. Music unifies that. That's what I love about it. And I think it could be used for more social change.
It's really been wonderful getting to know you a bit. And congratulations on the Chopin performance. That was stunning.
Thank you so much, Peter. It was great to be on the show.
Brandon Huang, 17 years old, from Ramsey, New Jersey.
If you subscribe to From the Top's podcast, you can download whatever episodes you want and listen on demand. They're available at fromthetop.org. For the last 15 years, From the Top and the Jack Kent Cook Foundation have awarded over $3 million in scholarships to talented young musicians who have financial need. We still have more to give. Go to fromthetop.org to learn more. Peter.
We're now traveling to southern Indiana, to the town of Lanesville, to be exact, and we're going to meet a talented young bassoonist who lives there. 15-year-old Nathan Shepard will perform the second movement from the Bassoon Sonata by Camille Saint-Saëns. I'm at the piano. That was the second movement of the Saint-Saëns Bassoon Sonata performed by 15-year-old bassoonist Nathan Shepard from Lanesville, Indiana. Peter Dugan here, and I had the great fun of collaborating with Nathan on the piano. Nathan is one of our Jack Kent Cook young artists. That was a hoot to play together with you, Nathan. What a fun piece, and you just really made it sparkle.
Yeah, well, thank you so much. I had a wonderful time playing it and putting it together with you.
You know, Nathan, I love reading about your whole family because they are From the Top's favorite type of people, music teachers teaching in schools. What's the lineage there?
Yeah, so my grandfather, he teaches, he's the director of bands at University of Louisville. My father, he is a middle school band director and he does high school orchestra things as well. My mom, she was a choir director before she became a stay-at-home mom with us, something that I'm very, very glad about.
Well, it makes sense. You just exude musicianship when you play, so it doesn't surprise me that you come from a musical family. Now, aside from just good musical mentorship that you get from your mom and your dad, you've also gotten some training from your family in unexpected non-musical ways, like on your grandmother's computer.
Oh, yeah. So she is a photographer, but she had some photo editing and illustration programs on her computer. She let me look at one called Adobe Illustrator. And
oh, yeah.
I got very interested in that. And so over the years, it's really developed into a passion of mine for visual design, and something that I think enjoy the most and specialize the most in is logo design and visual identities as would be used for a company.
Do you feel like this is a skill that more of your peers need to be developing in terms of graphic design or even video editing?
Yeah, so I think the visual aspect of music is something that as musicians, many of us should try to harness in a better way, because adding some sort of visual element, even if it's not with your music, but surrounding yourself either by a good-looking brand or in video editing, creating a good-looking performance of yourself, it makes it much more compelling to watch as well as to listen to, certainly.
Well, you are poised to be a true artist of the 21st century with all of your many skills. There's also a whole other family tradition that you take part in annually that, to me, this just sounds like picture perfect. It involves your great-grandpa's land in Ohio.
Ah, yes. That is a wonderful tradition that our family has. My great-grandpa has the family farm up in northern Ohio, and it's where we make maple syrup.
Ooh.
So he has a foresty patch on the farm there where we collect the sap from the trees that we've tapped all over the woods. And we bring it back with the tractor to the sugar shack at the top of the hill. And we put the sap in the evaporator. And as the water evaporates out of it, it becomes sweeter and sweeter.
Wow.
As it becomes more concentrated. And eventually you get the maple syrup. And I got to tell you, it is the best that you can find.
Wow. Thanks for sharing that. And hopefully I get to meet the full extended Shepherd clan sometime, because you sound like just a wonderful family. Thanks for being with us, Nathan.
Thank you very much.
Nathan Shepherd, 15 years old, from Lanesville, Indiana. Pianist Peter Dugan here, and if you weren't with us at the beginning of the show, I mentioned that one of From the Top's recurring co-hosts, Tessa Lark, would be joining us. Tessa is a great friend of mine. She's an extremely generous human being who has this fantastic, mischievous sense of humor, which I love, and her career is just thriving. I mean, Tessa is sought after for her depth of sound and this immense musical range she has, which includes everything from Appalachian music to the most virtuosic concerto repertoire. Wearing masks and following strict COVID-19 protocols, we were able to have her meet and make music with From the Top's young musicians in New York. Tessa, I'm so happy to be here together, working together, playing together, spending some time. I've been a fan of yours since the first time we jammed together over a decade ago. Yeah. I remember playing Misty.
Yes.
And I think that was our very first collaboration.
Yes, we played Misty together, and here we are now getting misty-eyed over some Bach with another versatile, amazing dude, Spencer, over here.
Thank you.
Yeah, this is going to be a lot of fun. Let me give you your official NPR welcome, though. Ladies and gentlemen, allow me to introduce to you this excellent 16-year-old oboist from Woodbury, New York. That's out on Long Island. This is Mr. Spencer Rubin.
Woo! Yeah!
Yes, the great Spencer Rubin. Spencer, tell everyone what we're going to play together.
We're going to play the Bach Concerto for Violin and Oboe, third movement.
Thank you. That was the third movement of Bach's Violin and Oboe Concerto, performed by 16-year-old oboist Spencer Rubin from Woodbury, New York, along with my co-host, violinist Tessa Lark. I'm Peter Dugan, and I was at the piano having the time of my life. You two are such great collaborators. What a joy.
Ditto. I don't know about for you, but for me as a student with Bach, I was really intimidated by the music at first and at your age. But there's such a naturalness and flexibility in your playing and such a beautiful effervescence in the Bach that just keeps the music so alive that I really, really appreciated.
Thank you so much.
Spencer, as we've just experienced, the way that you play the oboe is extremely compelling. Extremely compelling, is it not, Tessa?
Yes, oh yes, extremely compelling.
But also, the way that you talk about the oboe is extremely compelling, particularly the way you talk about oboe reeds. Mm. I know, oboe reeds, they're a bit over-discussed in the political blogosphere of our day. But Spencer, you, my friend, make it fresh. So we are going to rebrand this part of our show. Tessa?
Welcome to Pete and Tessa's Reedy Reed Show.
Reed Show. It's a Reed Show. This is Pete and Tessa's Reed Show.
It's good to have you all with us today, folks. We begin with the topic of reeds and character.
So a reed can develop someone's character?
Yeah, it sure can. It takes so much effort that goes into making a reed, and the process is just so long. Over the course of a lifetime, you're always learning how to improve your reed making, and it requires great a good mental space in order to sit down and just make a reed and to not get frustrated. And it just teaches you so many incredible things that you might not be able to learn from other aspects of oboe playing.
Reeds and money.
Spencer, are there money issues with reeds?
Yeah, so there are so many materials that go into making one reed, from the gouging machine when you start, and then going into sharpening tools and knives, and then there are the razor blades. I probably use maybe 3 or 4 razor blades for each reed, and when you're making 10 or 15 reeds a week, that's a lot of razor blades. And so I'm buying boxes of razor blades at one time, and I'm trying to find like the cheapest box of razor blades I can find.
Reeds and the French.
Qu'est-ce que c'est? What do the French have to do with reeds?
Well, most of the cane that us oboists use is grown in France, and I've heard from many stories of people in New York City trying to grow cane on the top of their balconies because they're not patient enough to get the cane from France. And so they want to just go out into their back patio and just pick some cane off. But it takes like many years for the cane to fully develop. So we do rely on the French pastures for much of the cane that we use.
Reeds and love.
A reed is part of the oboe, and you love the oboe. Can you tell us why you love the oboe?
Yeah, so when I was younger, I always knew that I wanted to play a unique instrument, and so when I heard the oboe played in many orchestral recordings, I just fell in love with the singing tone of the oboe. And as I've grown up, I've really valued the ability to put the mechanics of the oboe aside, like the reed and the struggles with the reed. And I think once you're able to fully just make music and not think about the reed or the oboe, I think it's just such a lovely feeling. And it just keeps me coming back to the oboe.
It's that feeling of love.
Yes. Truly, though, you are an artist and also a craftsman. Thank you so much, Spencer, for participating in the first and most likely the series finale of Tessa and Pete's Reedy Reed Show.
This is Pete and Tessa's Reedy Reed Show.
Thank you for having me.
Spencer Rubin, 16 years old from Woodbury, New York.
Daily joy. Couldn't we all use a bit of daily joy in our daily routines? Well, if you sign up for From the Top's Daily Joy video series, you'll have incredibly joyful minute-long music videos delivered to you daily. Sign up at fromthetop.org and cheer up.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from the Massachusetts Cultural Council, a state agency connecting young people with the arts in schools and in their communities. Learn more at massculturalcouncil.org. From the National Endowment for the Arts, the federal agency that supports the arts and creativity in communities across the nation. More information is available at arts.gov. And from the William T. Grant Foundation at wtgrantfoundation.org.
From NPR, it's From the Top, celebrating the power of music in the hands of America's kids. Coming up, a teenage classical guitarist from Texas performs the music of Mauro Giuliani. The in-person recording sessions featured on today's program are hosted by Yamaha Artist Services New York. Pianist Peter Dugan, From the Top's host, is sponsored by Susan and Gerald Slavitt. Peter.
Thank you, Joanne. Now, violin soloist Tessa Lark is joining us today, and she's one of From the Top's regularly appearing co-hosts, and right now I'm watching her rehearse with an excellent, and I've got to say, very flexible, 15-year-old violinist from Queens, New York. His name is Bobby Park, and they're rehearsing three duets by Bella Bartok. What's happening at this rehearsal has become totally fascinating for all of us, so we just decided to record it because it's a great look into behind-the-scenes music making. They're doing a major deep dive into this material.
Misty there, the last note, sorry.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no. That's great. Again, it's a beautiful sound. Maybe again, instead of singing sound, more rhythmic. A little less refined.
Okay.
In the sound. Again, with the gravity in the bow. So your purpose actually is thinking more rhythmic priority as opposed to beauty in the sound.
Oh, especially because this is Bartok, right?
I think so, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, of course there's a place for sound color very much, but I think the priorities are a little different.
Okay, I got it. It was funny because you don't hear, like, not so much refined, like, usually when we're playing, like, classical music.
Yeah.
Like, because this is Bartok, sort of different.
I think so. Mm-hmm. From here, is that okay?
Yes.
And then here, can I hear you play these?
Mm-hmm.
Sounds good. Nice. I love the bite that you have at the beginning of the note, but maybe again with in a lot of folk music, fiddle players, they have a sort of rhythm house in their arm. Mm-hmm. That's very much like in fiddle music, all this feeling of gravity and weight from the arm. So I think you hear how it's very subtle, but it's instead of.
I'm sorry. Can I hear the actual? I couldn't. I don't remember which what you did before. So, like.
Yes. Okay. So I will exaggerate what you were playing. Is a single impulse.
Okay.
But then.
Yep, okay.
you hear how the there's still subdivision going on in the mind, and so it translates a little bit into the bow.
Yes.
Like you are the rhythm machine here.
Yeah, okay.
You know, do you want to try that?
Is that
making sense?
Yes, that makes sense.
What if we try it together once? One.
Sorry,
so feel the gravity.
Oh, okay.
This was good, but again, I think still you're feeling with pressure of smaller muscle groups.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yes.
Feel like try and feel from your back,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to. That was just extra bad. You've never sounded that bad, but that's just from the hand, the wrist, and then. Once just let your whole arm, your whole shoulder. You want to try that once and let it be an ugly sound. Just. Yes! Yes! Whoa!
Whoa!
Whoa! Ooh, yeah! That's amazing. Did you feel that?
Yeah.
Let's do it a couple of times. Like, you know, just.
Wow, such a productive and dynamic rehearsal, and really transformative for Bobby, I think. Now we'll hear the results of that session. This is 15-year-old violinist Bobby Park from Queens, New York, performing movements 44, 28, and 35 from 44 Duos for Violins by Bela Bartok. His partner is violinist and From the Top co-host Tessa Lark. 15-year-old violinist Bobby Park from Queens, New York, along with my co-host, violinist Tessa Lark, performed movements 44, 28, and 35 from 44 Duos for Violins by Bella Bartok.
From the Top is also presenting concerts by our young musicians every 2 weeks on Facebook and YouTube. These are intimate and fun music experiences hosted by Peter Dugan and recorded right from our young musicians' homes. Search for From the Top on Facebook or go to youtube.com/from the top.
Thank you, Ms. Joanne Robinson. Pianist Peter Dugan here, and we're going to enjoy a meditative performance now on the guitar. The musician is 18-year-old Daniela Santiago from Austin, Texas, and here she is performing La Rose by Mauro Giuliani. Year-old guitarist Daniela Santiago from Austin, Texas, performed La Rose by Mauro Giuliani. And Daniela is one of our Jack Kent Cook young artists. Daniela, that was so beautiful. What a touching and tender piece of music. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Yeah, thank you. It was my pleasure.
Now, I know that you have an enormous musical appetite, and we're going to get into that.
Oh, yes.
You play several different genres of music, several different instruments, but I want to first go back to when it all started for you with music. I understand that you sort of had this magical moment with a portable classroom at your old school. Talk about that.
Well, I used to go to East Austin College Prep. Before I transitioned to the older kids' campus, they gave us a paper where it was like, choose your electives. You know, there's photography, art, and then I saw music. I was like, well, this is my chance, you know. But if it's going to be too expensive, then I'll probably have to drop it, but it's good to give it a try. So then I clicked it. Then next year, start of seventh grade year, I saw I had a beginning orchestra as my third period. And I was like, oh my God, like, I'm so excited. And we went to the other room and I was like, whoa, I've never seen so many instruments in my life. It felt like it was like paradise. And it was just so many. I didn't even know what they were. I just knew they were instruments because they were in cases and they had weird shapes.
Wow.
Well,
your school was affiliated with an organization called Austin Sound Waves. I know they had a big impact on you. What do they do?
Okay, so Austin Sound Waves is a nonprofit music organization that provides music education to low-income students. So the reason they chose to be at East Austin College Prep, which was my previous school, is because mostly low-income students go there because it's in the area. And yeah, so the majority of the students are the minority, basically. So yeah, I find it really nice that they went there, because if they weren't there, I wouldn't have been able to start my music journey.
And your music journey has been so impressive. Just a few years later, you were accepted into the famous Interlochen Arts Academy and boarding school in Michigan. They wanted you so much that they gave you a really good scholarship. But even so, I know that going there has meant a financial stretch for your parents. What was it like bringing up the idea of an arts boarding school to your parents?
So yeah, I told my dad and he was actually really supportive. He was like, oh yes, like, I think this is a great opportunity that you can't throw away.
Nice.
And he was like, because both of my parents didn't really, my dad didn't make it past elementary school because he had to work. And my mom, I think she made it till middle school and then she had to work too because life was rougher than they had a rougher childhood than me. So yeah, so my dad was like, yes, like, you have to do this. He's like, just remember what I always tell you, you know, you have to practice, you have to work hard. It doesn't matter if you end up going to sleep at 3 a.m. as long as you're practicing and doing something useful.
Really inspirational to hear. Well, Daniela, before we go, you have a little treat for us. You're going to give us a little taste of music from a totally different musical tradition.
Yes, I will actually be playing two separate pieces that I combine into one. And it's Regional Mexicano, which is a Mexican genre. The pieces that I will be playing is Sereno by Porte Diferente and Lolo Félix by Arsenal Efectivo.
And just for all of you listening, you're going to be hearing Daniela play a 12-string and a 6-string guitar simultaneously. She's overdubbed herself to create the effect of a full band here. It's going to be quite a treat. Let's take a listen. Daniela Santiago, 18 years old, from Austin, Texas. I'm pianist Peter Dugan, and one of the great joys for me in having a co-host on the program is that I get to collaborate with them too. Today's co-host has been violinist Tessa Lark, and I want to thank her for joining me and the young musicians today. As a final piece for you all, I have the sublime pleasure of playing the music of Antonin Dvorak with her. But before we roll into that, I want to thank all the young performers we've met today for sharing their music, and also for sharing their humanity. And to you listening in the car or the kitchen or while you're watering a potted palm or a fiddle leaf fig, thank you for joining us. I'm pianist Peter Dugan. Please join us next week. And now, here's Fritz Kreisler's arrangement of Songs My Mother Taught Me by Antonin Dvorak, Tessa Lark on violin, and yours truly at the piano.
From the Top is written and produced by Tim Banker, with post-production mastering and editing by senior producer Tom Vagley. Our music director is Megan Swan, and the production manager is Matt Dykman. David Norville is assistant producer. Sound design, engineering, and editing by John Escobar, with additional sound engineering support from Aaron Ross. Special thanks this week to Bonnie Barrett. From the Top is an independent nonprofit organization based in Boston. If you'd like to appear on our program, apply online at fromthetop.org. From the Top is supported in part by an award from the National Endowment for the Arts. Thank you.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from Senior Helpers, providing families with personalized in-home care for seniors and those living with Alzheimer's, dementia, and Parkinson's, committed to helping loved ones remain safe and independent at home at seniorhelpers.com. From the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, providing scholarships to high-achieving students with financial need, jkcf.org. And from the ECMC Foundation at ecmcfoundation.org.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. You know, while From the Top is distributed by NPR, it isn't owned by NPR. It's an independent nonprofit, and so we have to do our own fundraising to make it happen. Please consider making a donation to our ongoing entertainment and education programs at fromthetop.org.